Take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! It's the two-time Stellar Award considered, Spin Award nominated. You're listening to The Voice.
To The Voice.
The Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
You're listening to The Voice, the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk? Let's go!
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to The Psalmist Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go!
What's good, radio family? TPV Radio is just getting hotter, and we have an all-star lineup just for you. Mondays, conversations with Joe and Jay at 7:30 a.m. Tuesdays, victory over the weights of life with author Deanne Lebrine at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, Illuminating Words Ministries with Dr. Apostle Forrest L. Walker Sr. at 5 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sago at 4:30 p.m. Also, Dorothy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Fridays, the exclusive interview with yours truly, the Psalmist Voice, by appointment only. Saturdays is Saturdays Refet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones at 11 a.m., followed by The Locker Room with Coach D at 4 p.m. Sundays, TPV Reloaded at 2 p.m. with The Familia. Catch all of TPV Radio programming on Facebook Live at TPV Radio. Also, Live 365, tune in, and all of our podcasts, social media platforms. Walk with us in relationship, purpose, and promise. And let's go!
You never heard Christian radio quite like this.
Quite like this.
Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
Radio Network.
You're listening to Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now. TPV Radio.
TPV Radio.
Say that again. I have been touched. Put your hand on your neighbor. Say you have been touched. Put your hand on them. Say you have been touched. Changed. Healed. Baby is totally free from sin. Say that again. Totally free from. I have been touched, changed, healed. Totally free from sin. Every shackle broke. Now I can live. Y'all say it. you want to say it. Come on. Every shackle.
Under my
shackle. Said he broke every chain. Now I can live. Now I can live.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Have you been renewed? Have you been refreshed? Have you been loved by the Lord Almighty? Have your eyes become open? Have you woke up from your sleep? Because when we're in darkness, we're asleep and we're in slumber, and we don't know what to do with our lives until we give it over to the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. And we're so grateful that you have decided to come and be a part of what's going on the buffet on today. I don't know about you, but so much going on in our lives that I don't take life for granted quite as much as I used to. When I wake up in the morning, I'm grateful to be alive and well. And when I find that I haven't gotten a call through the night and my family is doing all right, it makes me glad that I know the true and living God. Before I go into that, I'm gonna introduce our family on today. Sister Tracy is here with us. Hello, Sister Tracy.
Good afternoon. How's everybody?
Good, good, good. Love you much. Hello, Sister Roberta.
Give her just a second. She'll be with us.
Okay. All right. Sister Roberta will be with us in a second. We're dealing with love on today, and I don't know about you all, but my love walk is in need of a Band-Aid or some antibiotic or something, because as I discover from the Word of God what love really means and how love operates, well, I find that my love walk is sort of limp and lame, because a lot of times what I do nice things because nice things have been done to me, but that ain't real love. Real love operates whether you do nice things or not. Real love actually steps up when you're not doing what you're supposed to, when another person is doing things that really are kind of irritating for you. Real love rises to the occasion and really put light on the subject. Sister Tracy, I'm feeling a little uneasy about the subject on today because it's such a weighty matter. How about yourself?
Say what?
the same. In just researching the word, it's interesting because these are scriptures that you've heard throughout your life and
mm-hmm.
throughout your walk, and it's
mm-hmm.
kind of like a smack in the face. You ain't doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not living like
yeah.
that. I'm not loving the way you told me to love, because
yes, Lord.
If someone gets on my nerves too bad, I walk
mm-hmm.
away. You ain't worth me loving you, but that's not what God told us to do.
That's
you
right.
Know? So
that's right.
This is a wake-up call.
We're on the same page, sis. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. Are you a big fan of allegories? Have you ever had the privilege of reading a book that was written in that form?
I have not.
Okay. Allegories, I'm kind of new. I'm just getting my feet wet to our radio audience and our listeners on today. God is actually transforming my life with an allegory. And what that does is this particular author, she uses the spirit, like the spirit of bitterness, hatred, fear. She uses spirits as people's names. So in this book, she doesn't call Deborah or Donnie or Diane. She says fear and bitterness and murmuring. And so I'm reading this book and dealing with this allegory, and I'm looking at God, and I'm like, God, you're such an amazing God, because he takes things that we take for granted every day, and he uses those things in our life, and he brings light to us. And it's just amazing, because I was a person of fear, Sister Tracy. I was one that was afraid to go to sleep in the daytime. I had the light on in the daytime. I was so full of fear. But what was wrong in my life at the time, which I didn't put the two together, I was so full of wrongdoing and sin. And sin brings about fear. And fear brings about torment in your life. And what supersedes those things is when we discover just how much our God loves us and how much his plan is a loving plan and an all-inclusive plan to deliver you from that spirit, whatever it might be that have you bound, and to set you free and on a path of victory. And it's just amazing to me how I got from where I was to even where I am now. I didn't sleep in a house by myself. I didn't sleep with my lights turned off at night. I didn't sleep like that. And now I can go to bed, turn my lights off, whether my husband is at home or not, and go to sleep. And if I have a bad dream, which sometimes that would happen too when I was living in fear, I would have bad dreams and nightmares, and I would wake up, and I would wake up in fear. And I mean tormenting fear. And since God has delivered me from that, if I wake up out of a nightmare now, I just pray myself back to sleep. And when I was in the midst of that from the beginning, okay, when I was in the midst of that from the beginning, I didn't have any idea how to operate in that. But Sister Roberta is here now. And before we go too far, hey, Sister Roberta.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Hi.
Hey, baby. Well, this is your baby, because we're dealing with love on today, and I just wanted to just come on and talk about where I am. I was sharing, I don't know if you heard it, that my love walk it needs a Band-Aid or operation or something, because what I'm discovering, and Sister Tracy and I said this somewhat of the same thing, what I'm discovering as I discover what God's love really is, that I'm behind the eight ball. I haven't really done love the way God wants me to do love, and I'm challenged by that. I'm challenged to step up. And as I step up, what you find out too, Sister Teresa and Sister Roberta and Pastor Chris, is that you have people around you that's in your immediate circle that's saying, you a fool, you shouldn't do that. Why are you fixing them dinner and they ain't gave you dinner? And so you have these negative reports and these arrows that are being thrown at your love walk. And then you have God Almighty in your heart saying, go, girl, that's the way you do it. I want you to do it like that. And you got these two conflicting voices. So, Sister Roberta, take it away.
Wow. Put me on the spot. That's so true. That's so true. And that's with all of us. And, you know, I believe it was the same thing with our Lord. You know, he loved us so much that he died for us while we were yet in our sin. And that's the hardest thing to do, to let to give up your right. I would say your right. It's like a person who tells them what they're going to do for love. But that is a hard thing to do. As a matter of fact, it's an impossible thing to do. It has to be done by the Spirit of God.
Right.
Praise God. It's not us. Because even when we want to not do it, he say no. He'll tell us the way that we're supposed to live. That's what, I guess that's why the scripture says that we're in the world, but not of the world. When we learn how to be in it, not of it. You know, we're beating at a different drum beat. You know, they say go on one, and we have to go on two. Because our drum master is the Lord. But it's not easy. And today, it's definitely not easy because you have so much stress. I mean, everything is heavy. There's a heaviness in the air. There's a heaviness that's all over. You know, you're going through so much. People going through, you know, the fear. I think it's more fear now than it has ever been. You go to grocery store and you're looking to see, you know, who behind you, what they doing, because there's a fear that's out there in the atmosphere. But, you know, we have what we need, we have the material, we have the power, we have the word that'll help us overcome fear. You know, and that's why he told us, fear not. You know, he overcomes fear through us. We can't do it, but he does it through us. But the love, is the thing that helps me, and I believe the body of Christ, it says God so loved. He didn't just love, but he so loved. He put the soul on it. On the love, you know, he just didn't love. He's so loved that he gave. And love is a word that you give. Most of us are so selfish, we want to receive.
My Lord.
We think it's about receiving what we can get and not what we can give.
You know, Sister Roberta, let me interject right there. My mind fell on this, and I'm gonna share it. I remember having struggles in cooking. And I've always admired your ability. And I asked you one time about it. And you told me something, and I have been endeavoring to do that ever since you told me that. You said, Brown, you just need to add love to it. And I've done that, and it has truly transformed my boiling egg. I used to boil, and people think that I'm just being silly, but I'm not. Because I used to boil an egg and couldn't hardly get the shell off of it because I was doing that wrong. So people think it's simple to boil an egg. It's simple for you if you know how to do it. If it's something you don't know how to do, no matter how everybody else does it easily, if it's something I don't know how to do, it's a struggle for me. And it was a struggle for me to keep feeding my family stuff that I looked at them and like, God, I don't even want to eat this. And I'm giving this to my family, whom I say I love. And you said add love to it. And that's what I try to do. I may not always get it perfect, but you can best believe I've added love to it. How did you come about doing that, Sister Roberta? How did you find out about adding love to food?
At first I was grudging. I didn't want to do it. You know, it's not easy serving. Serving is work. So you have to find out how to do it with joy, with happiness, because I had to serve my family. I had to serve. But to be a servant, you have to serve in love in order to be beneficial to yourself and everyone else, because you know for yourself, you go in the kitchen, you grudge and doing it, you don't feel like doing it. It's like you destroy things together. But when you add love to it, it's like, wow, this is special. This is for someone. This is, there's a meaning that goes with love, because love just expresses who you really are. The love of God, you know, is to bring warmth, it brings desire, it brings hope. And that, having a large family, a lot of children, and babies everywhere, and doing this and doing that, you know, that could be overwhelming. It's like, oh my God, this is. But then when I begin to add love to it, By what I did, the scriptures, what did it, the word of God. That's the only thing that changes us is the word of God. When he began to say, children were the heritage of the Lord, the fruit of your womb is his reward. Then I begin to look at it as, I'm rewarded. I've been rewarded to do this. This is a reward that God gave me to do. So I felt honored. I felt like, okay, you know, I'm getting rewarded. I felt like a celebrity. I would come home and feel like a celebrity because they'll be, mama, mama, mama. You know, when they went on the Oprah show, they're Oprah, Oprah, Oprah. So I changed it to being a burden to being a blessing.
Hmm. And you know, you really have, that's something key. Sister Teresa, you can chime in, but that's something key because people look at you and think, man, she ain't nothing but a slave. But in all actuality, when your heart is being stored towards being obedient to God, there's an inner joy that no matter what the outside think about what you're doing and who you are, you be like, I'm glad to be in his service. So, Tree, you got something on that?
That's exactly where I was about to go. Love is a service. It's a service. It shows up. That's the thing about love. It shows up. The dictionary says it's an emotion. It's a feeling. Okay, well, we'll go with that. It's an emotional show-up feeling, because you can tell me all day long that you love me, but if you don't show up, I don't feel your presence, then I don't feel love. And people have different love languages, which I understand, but the root of that is being present. You know, so in anything that we do, you were talking about cooking. Now, I'm the daughter of Roberta, was in the kitchen all my life with her. I don't enjoy cooking the way that she does. She loves cooking. She loves to see people smile and eat her food. And that's because I tell her she sprinkled Jesus juice in it. But, you know, folks,
amen.
Folks be there just in a different type of joy, you know, when they eat her food. But I cook, you know, even with my family, I cook. When they were growing up, it was like I cooked because they had to eat. You know, it wasn't no, let me get in here and cook something. My kids, you know, the joy, the love. No, it was not that. I would be lying if I said that. I cooked because they needed to eat. But I have learned, like, the holidays are big to me. So I get joy from that. I get joy from seeing them have just this, you know, full table of food to choose from. And, you know, if we
if we, you know, interject love into everything that we do, and we say it's a service unto the Lord. You know, at work, they get on my nerves. At home, they get on my nerves. But when I do the deeds that I do, and I say it's a service unto the Lord, I get peace from that. And knowing that, yeah, they may not appreciate what I'm doing, or they may not say thank you, but it's not about getting accolades from other people. It's about my reward in heaven. And that's something, you know, even with dealing with this, you know, I was looking at 1 John 3:18, and it says, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed, truth. So that, you know, that spins right into what we're saying. It's a service. You got to show up in order for love to be present.
So, Tree, you saying to me, Brother Tyrone can tell you all day long, girl, I love you. Girl, I'll drink your bath water. That don't mean nothing if there's no action to go with them words.
It's an action word. My mama told me a long time ago, love is a verb. It's an action word.
It's an action word.
It's an action word. So you got to show me. It ain't about the talk, because people talk all day long. But where are they when you need them? Where's the walk? You know, show me in action. You know, call me when you need me. I had a situation this week. I'm visiting my mother here in Michigan, and a very dear friend of mine, we were in the military together. We call each other sister, because if she needs me, I'm there. She has one daughter who's my godchild, and she called and said, Mom's on her way to the hospital. Now, if I was home in North Carolina, I would have been there by her side, because I'm the first person that she calls. Now, I couldn't be there. I couldn't be there physically, but I was on that phone. I was calling. I was texting every move she made. You know, they had to medevac her from North Carolina to South Carolina. I was on that phone. What's going on? What, you know, what's this? What's that? What you need? That's what I'm talking about, that show up type of love. It ain't just, girl, call me if you need me, but actually being there. You know, that it makes a difference. So they, it doesn't matter where I'm at. If I was in Africa, they knew they could call me, because I've proven that. I've proven that when you need me, I'll be there. You know, so that's in essence what we're talking about. You can't, I got to be able to know that when I call on you, you know, there's no condition to your love for me. I'll be there if you do this for me. You know, there's no condition.
That's
and,
good.
And, you know, it, Mom said at the beginning, she said, you know, a lot of people think love is about receiving, but love is about giving. We have to be able to give. I give so that it's no question that I love you. I'm here. It ain't monetary either. It's not about monetary. You know, sometimes it's spiritual. You know, you could call me in Texas and you ask me to pray, you know I'm praying. You know, that's still giving. That's giving, and that's service. So,
and you know, I have called you, Sister Tracy, from the road. I've been out there on the road and needed a song. I've called you, and I know. You don't even have to tell me, and I'm not asking you. I know that there were many times when I asked for that song, you didn't feel like no singing, but you did.
And you right. And you right.
But you did. And you blessed me. You may not have felt nothing from that song you gave me, but you blessed me. I needed you in that way at that time. So if we live our life, and we always give people what we want them to have, and we never give people what they need. Treat this, should we ask ourselves, what good am I?
That's good.
What good am I? Yeah. I taught my boys when they were little guys, about 3-4 years old, and I would take them walking down the street. I was kind of determined I wanted to make a difference in my children's lives. Now, they remember the beating. That's all they talk about. So, Tree, did you get him a piece of chicken? You give him a piece of chicken and some hot sauce? And they're like, no, you remember when Mama beat us, man? That was child abuse. That's all they talk about. But I remember the days when I used to take them walking. And we would just look on the ground for certain shaped leaves. And I remember one day I said, I think it was Avery Brown. I said, Avery, hold my hand. And he put his arm around me. And that was a teachable moment. I said, son, I didn't ask you to do that. I asked you to hold my hand. I said, never give a person what you feel like they ought to get. Give them what they ask you for. And that was a teachable moment. You know what they do with that moment, Tree? They play it back on me. They play it right back on me as adult children. They asked me for something, and I fixed some chicken and some pork chop. My aunt asked you for the pork chop. I told you I want some chicken. Give me what I asked you for, not what you want me to have. So, I love that. I love that what God is revealing to us about how his love really works. That young lady needs your support, and you're saying, I'm supporting you. I'm not in a position to come by your bed, but I've got you in the spirit. And, Sutri, that's more important than standing next to the bed. Because sometimes standing next to the bed will mess us up. And I got a great example of that. My cousin's son was riding a motorcycle, didn't have a helmet on. A car cut in front of him and threw him airborne off the motorcycle. He landed on his head. He didn't break anything, any arm or nothing. He landed on his head, and it was head trauma. When they got him to the hospital, his brain was swelling so badly, they had to take the cap off his brain and put it in the freezer. And when I went to his bed, I looked at him, and it was though he was already deceased. And they kept telling me, are you going to pray? I ain't praying yet. I wouldn't pray. Because you know what? I got into fear. I was afraid if I prayed and told the family he was going to live and he passed away, they were going to look at me funny. So 2 weeks, I kept at that hospital. And after 2 weeks, the Lord led me to pray. And he told me, you always pray the prayer of victory. Until the decision is made, you pray a prayer of faith. So I prayed, and that was a teachable moment for me, that sometimes standing by the bed, things can look really bleak. If you're not a prayer warrior and a person of great faith, don't go by that bed too quick, because you'll get into doubt and unbelief.
Yes. So true. So true.
Sister Roberta, it's on you. Truth made me rant and rave. I'm sorry, Sister Roberta.
You're doing real good. You're doing real good. But, you know, the thing that I ponder in my mind, my love walk in this pandemic, you know, what is my love like? Do I, you know, I know we can't, you know, the churches were closed.
Mm-hmm.
The churches was closed, and you know you're used to going at the church and hiding emotions and feelings, and if somebody gets, you know, you get mad with your husband, you go to church and praise the Lord, hallelujah, you know, cover all that up. But now you got to stay there and just right there. You can't go nowhere. You got to stay there.
Right.
You know the church ain't no out now. You know, and that was a hard thing. And I told my daughter today, I said, you know, I said, this thing is working. I say, you know what? I think I'm enjoying my husband even more now.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I can talk to him without being anxious or hurry up or, you know, I'm like, okay, yeah, we can talk now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before, I'm on the mood. My mind was moving. I got to go this. I got to do this. And I'm hurry up. Say what you got to say. Trying to, you know, register.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can pay attention more. And it's like, and it's relaxing. And it's like, oh, you know. So it's like, okay, Lord, I'm telling us we're going through the motion.
Right, right. Yep.
It was just emotion. It wasn't reality. And your first ministry is in your home. Your first ministry to your husband, to your children. And I was like, oh my God, thank you for revealing that. Thank you for opening up to let me know that I wasn't ministering the need. The need. You know, I was ministering what I wanted, but he needed an ear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Teresa said he needed all of you.
That is so true.
Know, it's so true, and it's like, oh God, it's a wild moment. Wow, God, you know, for, you know, and that's why he said, you know, I think about it. You know, you think you're doing all the right things, making all the right moves, and he said, not yet. I got to wait because I got to get a church without spot or wrinkle. I got to work all these spots out of you. and I got to iron all these wrinkles out of you. And the way you do it, through the things that we go through, through the things we suffer, through the things we sacrifice and we lay down our life for, like he laid his down for us. We have to lay our life down for others, that they would see the love of God demonstrated in us and through us. And sometimes, you know, and even now he have me zipping my lip. Okay, be quiet. You know, don't say nothing. Let me do it. I'm like, God, but see, he, you know, I need a little, you need a little help here. Let me help you out. It, you know, I know you know how to do it, but you don't know him like I know him. I need to push him along a little bit. You know, but God, you know, what you're doing, you're not building him. God want to build us up. He don't want to tear us down.
That's right.
And that's
right.
What I'm learning from the love walk. You know, when you find out what love truly is, it's not selfish. And everything you know, when you look over, everything you're doing almost is about me, 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 I. Listen, no, so that's not love. Love is not selfish. Love is kind. Even when you don't want to be kind, it's kind. It's not kind because of, it's kind in spite of.
That's good talk.
That's love. You know, it's easy to be loving to a person that's nice and good to you. But when a person is not, can you still love them and be kind? And that's what love is. Love is not because of, it's in spite of. It's always in spite of. And it meets the need. Whatever the need is, love meets the need. Wherever you are, love meets the need. How do I meet the needs of this person? How do I meet the need of my children? How do I meet the need of my husband? How do I meet the need of my mother that's sick? You know, how do I meet, even on your job, how do you meet the need of these people that are frustrated, that are upset, and have a right to be, you know? But how do I meet the need? How do I help them? How do I bring them to where they need to be? How do I show the love and demonstrate the love of God in this situation? And that's what we have to do day by day. He said, they'll know you. Jesus said, they'll know you by your what? By your love. You know, it's your love. Love is a motivated. When people are kind to you, even when you want to be mean to them, they get kind of it. You wasn't expecting that. In the message, you're like, whoa, what can I do? Now I got to straighten up. So this person was kind. I wasn't expecting that. But that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to be.
You're so right, Sister Roberta. I was babysitting my grandkids, and I think he was about 5 at the time. And this particular morning, it was one of those days where it seemed like I was running behind, and he was in slow motion. And I was hollering. I mean, I was screaming at this baby. And I had to put him in the car seat. And he looked at me, he say, "It's okay you screaming at me, Granny." Oh, my God, you could have bought me and got change back from your penny. Oh, my God, God used that baby that morning. And I looked at him and I said, "No, baby, it really ain't okay for me to be screaming at you like this." Because that was not exemplifying any love. And in that chaotic situation, this child, and I'm the adult, senior, this child was able to call me out on the carpet with my love walk. It's just amazing what God can use. So it really is beneficial for us when we're in unloving situations. If we can draw from the well of love, it works well for us. Even if we can't see it at that moment, because sometimes you can't see it right away when you love on a person that's unlovable. Because I remember before Sister Tyler passed, she used to do that. She would be someplace and some person would be mean. She made that her job. Every time she would see that person, she would just love on them. And I thought to myself, girl, you wasting your time. Ain't nowhere in the world. That joker mean. Let him stay over there with his ugly self and stay mean. That was my attitude. But she was in the right lane. I was off. I didn't know it. And she kept saying, "Hey, how you doing? How you doing? How's the family?" And one day, that thing became, she did it, they did it back. And I couldn't believe it. It was a transformation that took place because she kept loving on that individual. And then I realized it was beneficial, and I started doing it myself. So, Tracy, I know you're still working. Your mom and I are retired, so I know that there are situations on your job where you can really use a good love walk, right?
Every single day. Every single day, yes. It's interesting because, you know, with the pandemic, the stresses of life became so different, you know, and people used to complain about, you know, mediocre small things, but it changed, you know, the outlook on life changed. You know, people were thrown into situations of being isolated, you know, literally, you know, only leave your house to go get essential things, and they were used to being around, you know, groups of people. And so you're dealing with depression, you're dealing with, my mom talked about being at home with your spouse. You know, I'm with her. It awakens something within me and my husband, being around each other more and being able to spend time and talk about things that we probably had pushed under the rug because we were so busy moving all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
You know, people at work having to be in those situations where they call it stuck in the house with somebody they don't want to be stuck with, because going to work every day was respite. You know, that was their rest, you know. And then also going to church, you know, that was a big thing when my mom was talking about that. That is so true. I feel like God gave the world a timeout. I feel like he just said, y'all get somewhere and sit down. And we had to focus on him. It wasn't the man behind the pew anymore. The man behind the pew, the word wasn't as effective because we weren't there. So we were in relational situations with God. You know, I think we had gotten, all of us, you know, as Christians, we got off track with what Christianity was. We were so busy trying to make it to the next service, you know, trying to, and I'm going to go there, trying to please the pastor instead of pleasing God. And Lord, Chris. So we got off track, and God threw a sit-down spirit out amongst us and said, y'all sit down somewhere, and y'all listen to me. We had to hear his voice. And that in itself was a little scary. It was much needed. It was much needed because I must say, you know, I thank God for my pastor, my church, and all that good stuff. But I'm in a season now, because I haven't returned back, you know, to the church, but I'm in a season now where I have such a strong connection with God, you know, in my living room Sunday morning versus being in behind you know, closed walls in a building, that it's like, Lord, I met you here, and you met me here, and we were able to commune together, and you opened up some things to me, and you showed me who you were. Like, do I really want to go back to the old person? Because I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the sit-down spirit. You know, I'm really grateful that he loved me enough to say, sit down so you can see who I am. You need to go back to kindergarten, you know, in your Christian walk, so you can relate to me instead of relating to the things of what the church wants us to do versus what God wants us to do and who we're called to be. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to be disciples. So I found myself, you know, in during the pandemic, so enough being an ambassador and a disciple, because people were in need of so much. They needed to pray. They needed to talk. They needed to cry, you know, and it was just, it was amazing how God used, and it's something because I hadn't thought about it until I was reading about love, how God really used me to show love. And it's people that at work, oh, my God, that I normally would just speak to going down the hall, and that's it. But they were knocking at my door. They needed to talk. They needed somebody to tap into the spiritual realm with them, because they know who I am in Christ. You know, they might not talk to me every day, but they know who I am. So when it comes to prayer, yeah, you come here by prayer, but they know they don't cross that line. They don't cross that threshold if they're coming with some mess, because I don't do mess. So let's go to God, you know, and let's do what we need to do. My boss, Indian man, doctor, got COVID. and was calling me, Tracy, I need you to pray. I need you to pray, you know. And I'm like, Lord, thank you that they saw the love, the light of God in me, that they were able to say, okay, let me get to this person because I know she can get a prayer beyond the ceiling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how God, how he does things, you know, even during the pandemic, he showed himself mighty and he showed himself strong. So, yes, I think I got off track, but yes, at work.
No, you're fine.
I do have to really, you know, focus on how to show love because people will work your nerves, like really
right.
work
right.
your last nerve. And everyone's intentions aren't pure, but it's not about their intentions. It's about yours.
That's yeah. true. That's true. That's so true. Sister Roberta, we done. Pastor Chris has really been good
what?
Today. Sister Roberta, you probably need to get him a sucker today. Because I know he's been wanting, especially when Sister Teresa went towards that church. I know he wants to jump out of his stool, out of his chair.
I'm trying to be good today, but you poking me with a stick, Sister Lorraine. And see, you keep poking me with the stick. I'm going to have to get you with the Holy Ghost fire over here. See, I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to keep the band at bay. I'm trying to let the ladies roll. But see, you keep poking me with the stick. But yeah, I'm gonna, if you allow me, I want to add a little something to this. Because Sister Therese, yes, she lit something under me when she talked about the building, the church. Now, see, we have to understand something. We are the church. See, we've been so taught to go to the church for the breakthrough, for the healing, for the spiritual edification, and the list goes on and on. But see, what we forgot is that we take the church to the church. See, we forgot that. See, and then when COVID hit, we panicked. Why? Because we've been so taught to go to the building for all of our needs that we forgot that we had the automatic link to our Father through our relationship with God. Now, pause for a minute. See, a lot of us didn't have a relationship. We had a religion. Uh-oh, I'm going to get in trouble with this statement, but I'm getting to the point here. See, we had so much religion, so much cliches. I had the nice hats, the nice dresses, the nice suits and gator shoes, all this nonsense. But see, we knew how to play the part. But when it was time to actually get the part, we fell off. Why?
Yep.
Because we were so taught how to do church as usual that when the pandemic hit, some of us just went on the deep end and went right back to the club and dropped it like it's hot. See, I don't gotta sit here and make up nothing. But see, what we have to understand is that our source of love comes from Ephesians chapter 3. And see, y'all was digging in my goodie bag for tomorrow's show for Reloaded. But I'm going to read this. I'm going to be quick. See, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, and I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation because it's just like me. It gets straight to the point. See, here we go. Then, by constantly using your pastor, no, by constantly using your praise team,
No.
But constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of who? You. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and the root of your life. Now, you can't get the root in your life. You can't allow it to be a resting place in your life if you don't have a relationship with God in the first place. Uh-oh. See, you shouldn't have poked me with that stick, because, see, I'm about to open up something here. See, we constantly talk about we have faith. We constantly talk about we have favor, all this stuff. But, see, we can only build our spirit man if we have connection to the King. We can only build our love that can be unconditional if we build our relationship with the Lord. See, we can only do these things if we have our total trust and faith in Christ. See, Christ is the source of our power. Christ is the source of our supernatural strength in times of uncertainty, like now, in times of people passing on, dropping like flies, everybody calling me, I'm about to lose my mind. But guess what? How deeply do you want your intimacy with God? See, it says it right here in the whole chapter of Ephesians 3. I encourage you to read it, because this is the source for the saints of today to rise up from their own feelings and rise up in the feelings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He left us a gift. It's called the Holy Ghost, but we're all half-baked because we got our own agendas and we got our own things going. But yes, you're right. The pandemic made us love better with our spouses. The pandemic made us come closer, and certainly the pandemic made us look in the mirror and realize just how nasty we truly are. Let me stop. See, I promised I wasn't going to preach, but I'm going to pass the mic before I go straight ham and cheese. So back to you, sis. I'm done.
Pastor Christian. That was loud and clear. You preached that. And those that have ears are here, because that is so true. And we thought that so long, we thought that we were doing the work of, you know, the work of God. We was praying. We thought this was all God. And God was saying, no, not my. I'm here. No, I'm over here. I'm over here. It's not over here. It's about you listening to me. Listen to me. I'm the one that called you. I'm the one that saved you. I'm the one that delivered you. I'm the one that healed you. I'm the one. It's me. It's my blood that floods through your veins. I'm the one that gave you life. You know, listen to me. I got greater things. I got more I want you to do. There's some people that need you to touch. Got some lives I want you to speak into. But I can't, because I got to go over here, Lord. You know, wait till next week. Yeah. You know, I'll do it next week. But God is saying, no, it's about relationship. It's about what he wants to do in our life. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I have a relationship with him. And this pandemic did something to our family. We started a group prayer every night. So we begin to pray. We begin to pray not just for us, but for the body of Christ, for the entire world, for everybody. We just begin to pray. Now, this wouldn't have happened if we would have still been in church on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's right.
It wouldn't have had time, but it allowed us to pray and intercede and be about our Father's business. And it has brought the family closer. You know, we saw that even the young kids have saw God do miraculous things on the Zoom, that they actually saw God bless. They actually saw God here as for prayer doing it. You know, and it wasn't no shape, form, or fashion. It was just straight God.
Yeah. That's so. When we were in church, we didn't make time for stuff like family gatherings and things of that nature to pray. But when the pandemic hit us, it was such an unknown thing to us. We had to decide whether we were going to be in fear of the pandemic or whether we were going to arm ourselves against the pandemic, coming together as a family. because, you know, you didn't want to really add anybody else to the pot. So you're absolutely right. And when you gather like that, Sister Roberta and Sister Teresa, in prayer, it transformed you and it brought you to another level of family love and family respect. Because now you see your family not as just the cook or the grandmother. Now you see your family member as the prayer warrior and the woman of and the man of faith.
Even beyond that, we went so far as to everyone would present a message, whatever message God gave them, placed on their heart, even the young kids. So that was an opportunity for them to study the Word of God and get to know Him. And get to know, oh, my God, God's word says this, and look what's happening. I mean, they were seeing it before their eyes. So that that was so important. And, again, we were so busy and caught up with what man said and how man said we were supposed to live this Christian life that we left God out of it and His order and His structure of, like Mom said, God was like, I'm right here. Where y'all at? You're missing me because you're so busy being busy with church. And it's not about church because, like Pastor just said, we are the church. So everywhere we go, you know, God goes with us. And He should be moving through us, you know, if we're truly doing what He has called for us to do.
That's right. That's right. That's very, 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 very true. So we've been doing church work a long time, but we haven't been doing the work of the church. Because church work is cleaning the building and mopping and cutting the grass, but the work of the church is souls. And we've left souls by the wayside because we have an appointment to go clean the church. The dirty church cleaning the church.
The dirty church cleaning the church.
Don't you grab that word. Leave that alone. Because when I said that, I thought that to myself. Tree, leave it alone. Leave it alone because Pastor Chris would come out that corner fighting.
Good God Almighty.
No.
Dirty church. Cleaning the church. That's a word right there.
Ooh, Jesus.
Oh, I'm going to be good. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Pastor Chris, I feel you got something with that one. You got something on that.
Ooh,
she being messy on the radio today.
You know what?
I need my brother.
Thank you, sis.
I need my brother. Bring it, brother. I need you to bring it.
Thank you, sis. Thank you, sis. If you will allow me a few seconds of your time, ladies, I just wanted to add a little bit of cayenne pepper to this pot. See,
okay.
We go to church so cosmetic'd up. We so fake and phony with it. Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. See, we mask and hide behind our clothes, our weave, our top hats, our shoes, our Versace bags. We just get so carried away. See, we bring our dirt to the house, which a lot of us, we thought the power was the building. So we're going in there. Just the night before, we was just dropping it like it's hot with our homegirls and our homeboys, or we was getting lit or whatever it is, and then we're coming to church half stumbling, and we telling people we got slain with the spirit when we walk through the door. Yeah, okay. But anyway, see, we go through the motions so well, and we don't realize that God is already in you. When you went to the club last night, all the way to the building. See, we don't know how to leave our junk on the altar. So if you want to bring the church building into play, we don't leave our stuff at the altar. That's why we have issues when we come to the church. We put it on the altar for 5 to 10 minutes, and then when it's offering time, we pick it right back up and sit back on a pew. Uh-oh. Somebody
That's
didn't like
truth.
That one. But
That's
I'm just
truth.
Saying, see, we don't understand how much power we possess as having relationship with God. I keep saying the same thing, and I've been saying it since half of last year going into this year. We are not going to make it. with our religion and our works in the church. I'm sorry, it's too late for that, way past that. We need to start rewriting history and actually coming to church with power. We need to start coming to church understanding who we are in Christ. Uh-oh.
Mm.
See, that's the problem right there. We don't know who we are. That's the problem. We're waiting for Pastor to tell us who we are, but God's been knocking on your heartstrings for the last 10 years of your life, but you waiting for Bishop Sukal to lay hands on you and put some oil on your head so you could do a praise break for the church so you could tell everybody you got the Spirit. No. When you open the book, when you read the book, that's having relationship with the Father. When you pray or when you worship God, that's having intimacy with the Father. See, it's all about what you put in. We can't be in successful marriages, ladies, if we don't put in the work. Uh-oh. Let me get in trouble with that one, too. Well, but I'm telling the truth. Y'all opened up a valid point earlier. You cannot expect your husband or your wife to reciprocate the word love if love's not being given in return. You can say it all you want. Love is an action word. No, I'm not talking about being in the committee where you're feeding everybody in the church after you had a three-week revival raising funds for the air condition. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having relationship with the Father, understanding that the Father can do everything that you have need of. Let me read again, Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm done. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Let me read something to the family real quick. When you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, plural, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. That's in the natural, spiritial, and so on. So how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love? Great question. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measure. Endless love beyond Sister Lorraine saying, I love you, bro. I love you, sis. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our own understanding. Key word. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. See, I'm going to stop right there because we're going to have church if I keep reading, and I ain't trying to spoil tomorrow's lesson. But all I'm saying is if we don't put in time and invest time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, why do you think we come into church dirty and we bringing all that mess into church and we can't find deliverance because we don't have a relationship with God? Man, let me stop. Let me go. Let me stop. Let me go. Okay, sister, y'all take it before I go run with this. Back with you.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask a question, too. So what do I do with your track? If you come to me with this track and I'm hungry and all you got for me is a track, do you think you really giving me the message of love? And go ahead, Tree, with your statement.
Oh, boy. Now, that's a twist there. I don't think I'm going to mess with that one. I'm going to stick with where I was going. I was in what Pastor Chris was saying, Colossians 3:14, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So love needs to be a part of our wardrobe. You know how you put on the full armor of God and you walk out of the house and, you know, you gird and you cover and all this. Love needs to be a part of your wardrobe. So you purpose in your life every day when you walk out of the house, I'm going to love somebody. I'm going to exemplify love the way God has shown me over and over again because it's endless. It's endless. That's something that God just really opened up to me as Pastor Chris was talking. We have got to be able to, it's not a faucet. You can't turn it on and off. We are to exude love, the love of Christ.
Can't turn it on and off, huh? Wow.
Yes. It's walking in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is love. He himself is love. God is love. That's who he is. And if we're going to put on Christ, we have to put on Christ is saying, doing what he say do, when he say do it, he say love. He said, hey, do good to those that mistreat you. You know, for those that falsely, he already let you know you're going to be falsely accused.
All that.
He let you know that's going to happen. But this is how I want you to react to when it happens. This is how I want you to show my love, show who I am in you. That you dead. You know, Paul say, I die daily. I'm dead. I've been crucified with Christ. So, I got to put on Christ. I got what Christ, what, when you put on Christ, when you have to put on Christ, what do you mean?
Mm.
Meaning that, well, what Christ did when he was here.
Mm.
He fed the hungry. He clothed people. He gave, to answer what your question is, what did Christ do? When they came to him hungry, he fed him. He said, look, sit down. Told
what did he had on his St. John and his red bottoms? Was he supposed to stop with them nasty people?
Well, he knew that his name was greater than St. John and Red Bottom.
Oh!
Oh! No.
Woo! Woo!
And there it is.
Say what?
I'm going to say this, and I'm turning my mic off after this, because it's probably going to set this whole thing off. But, see, let me inform the family that's listening and everyone at the buffet that some of us that call ourselves believers have been infected by this virus called No Love 21. And the symptoms are me, I syndrome, which causes you to live your best life now and turn away all other folks that don't come to your level. See, that's the problem, ladies. We've been infected by this virus. We've been so busy trying to live our best life now that people have been burnt. That's why Sister Lorraine bringing that bag to you, and half of us don't even know what to do with that bag because we're so infected by this virus, we going to turn our nose up, turn our backs on the sister, and walk away. Mm-hmm. Why? Because our heart is so black with all the nonsense that we've been taught. Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble with that one too, but that's okay.
Mm.
See, we've been taught all this blessed and highly favored nonsense, and we ain't been teaching the root cause of the cure. It's called love. That's what we've been lacking in the last 20 years as believers, and you wonder why folks don't like us that much. Because we don't love, we look up to you because we think we so high and mighty and dignified because I got my degrees, I got my Lexus on my BMW, and I ride right past you while you walking with your kids going to the same building. I don't want them in my car because I don't want to get my leather dirty. Come on now, it's a car. You can't take it with you. And if it's that bad, make sure you got little wipes with you and wipe off the seat if it's all that. But I'm just saying, I'm making a point. See, we ride past people that go to the same building. We do things to folks that are in the building we go to, and we infect them with the same virus we've been walking around with for the last 5 to 10 years because we live in our best life now. See, I said I'm done. I'm turning my mic off. Don't poke me with the stick no more. I'm done. Back to you.
Woo! Well, now.
Oh, no.
Y'all want a song or something? Because it's getting hot in here.
Okay.
Where we go from there? I'll tell you what. Let's do it like this. Let me say this. I don't want people to think that come here and we gather to put down the church. That is not what we do. But by the same token, we have to be realistic because we sat in the pews next to you and we received the same warmed up, watered down messages that you received the same day. And all we're saying is the pandemic has located us. If it has not located you, keep saying good morning and good night, and it will. Because what it showed us was we were really not being equipped. We were really not being ministered to. We were being ministered at, and we were being compared to. But development comes through being taught the unadulterated word of God, untampered with, unwatered down, unmessed with, not something that you heard somebody say, and then you decided to put your spin on it and say it because you felt like it said good, it sounded good, and it will make people react. We're not looking for a reaction. We're looking for transformation and a change. Because what we realized during this this pandemic is we were not who we thought we were. But perhaps we were on our way, but we wasn't going to make it with what we had in our hands. And so we just simply saying, in the event we go back to the building, we're not coming back for another watered-down message, pastors. We're not coming back for another you got it off the line and paid $10 a month to have messages sent to your phone, your iPhone, or your smartphone. We want what God gave you to give us because that's what's going to cause us to evolve and grow. And if we're not growing, we may as well go back to the club because we were growing. I was growing at the club. I was growing at the club because when I went in there as an 18-year-old, I was not quite as equipped as I was when I came out of there at 27. They helped me to grow up in some stuff in the club. So now if I leave the club and I come to God's house, I know you're supposed to outdo the club. Am I by myself?
Nope. Nope. You're not.
So that's good. I grew in the club. Tree, you've been in the club. Did you grow?
I tore it up in the club.
I dropped mine like it was hot, and I picked it back up. So when I got in the church, I was ready to just go wild in the church because I had seen God high and lifted up, and his train had filled my temple. And I knew that he had brought me in out of a place that was going to kill me. And I was grateful. So me being loud was just what I was going to do because that's what I was when I was working for the enemy. I was loud for him. I didn't go out there shy and timid. I went out there tearing up some stuff. So when I came in God's house, I was ready to tear the kingdom of darkness down because I left some people out there in the club I wanted to get. But I had to be equipped to go get them because if you don't equip me to go get them, the same thing that happened to me happened to my pastor, my ex-pastor. He said he got saved out of a group of guys that was drinking and chasing women. So he went over and got saved. So he decided one day, I didn't say the Lord sent him, he decided one day he going to go back over there and get some of them guys. He went back over there trying to convince them about the Lord. He got dead drunk because he went back over there unequipped. And I'm saying to the church today, equip us to go back and get some of those people we left in that club because they're God's people. Their eyes are just closed. Give us that message that burns in our spirit so we can go out there and say, burn, baby, burn. We can't say that because we are not on fire ourselves. You ain't even struck a match in the church, sir, ma'am. We in there, we not even lukewarm. We cold. And it's summertime. 90 degrees. degrees outside, and you got the air conditioning up so high, we cold in the church. We leave out of the cold church and go into the hot world. You tell me what works. Okay, Sister Roberta, this your show. Go ahead.
She'll be right back.
Well, you got to take it. Somebody got to get it. I'm done. I'm like Pastor Chris. I'm going on mute.
Well, you know what? That is so true. You see people, the young people especially, that come in, you know, after they've been out in the world, and when they go taste and see that God is good, when they first get introduced to him, they're so excited and they're so on fire. And then they come to a church that tells them, okay, calm down. Calm down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, calm down. We'll get you where you need to be. We will get you where you need to be. The thing that excited them was the Spirit of God. So if the Spirit mm-hmm. of God lit that match in them from the beginning, who are we to them? Who are we to dim that fire within them? Yes, they need the instruction. They need the teaching. But the little bit that you have, go out there and tell them. You can listen to a drunk man who knows about Jesus tell you about him, and he ain't lied about him yet. He said, God keeps keeping me. He wakes me up every day. You know, he on the street corner, and he preaching about the love of God, because it is God's love. You know, he doesn't have everything, all the equipment that he needs, and so he don't know the verses. You know, he may not know how to pray the long prayer, but yet he has experienced the love of God, because even in his sin and his hurt and his sunken place, he knows that every day God shows him love when he allows him to get up again and to start over, do it again, and let's one more day, you know, one foot in front of the other, the small things. But at the same time, we have to allow the Spirit of God to work in people. I think one of the things that discouraged me in one of my former churches was, I know that I'm anointed to sin. I know mm-hmm. that, you know, that's something that God gave me. So I would sing, and, you know, people would be delivered, set free. It's like when I would get up in this church and sing, we couldn't go on to the message, because every time the power of God would fall and wreck us in that place. And the pastor there, I love him, I'm speaking bad about him, but it got to a point where he only wanted me to do that when it was beneficial to him, when it was making him look good, you know. So they stopped putting me on programs to lead praise and worship, and stopped giving me, putting me on the schedule for solos and things. And I was just like, Lord, and he said, well, we want you to do this, and we want you to do that. And I'm thinking, like, Lord, I know your voice. I hear from you. I know when you tell me to speak. I know what you tell me to say. So I'm like, am I supposed to dumb down the Jesus in me to my pastor? You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about. I wish I could to talk to some pastors and just say, you know, God gave you a congregation because he wants you to use them. I put different gifts in them so that they are mm-hmm. able to do what you are not equipped to do, because God didn't give the pastor everything to do. He didn't give him everything.
Right.
So there are
some
people that can pray heaven down, and you say, dang, that's Jesus praying right there. There's some people that can lay hands on you. There's some people that can sing, and you can see the notes flying out of their mouth. You know that had to come from God. So, Pastor, you use what God has given you. It's in your pews. It doesn't dim your life as the pastor. It doesn't dim you. You are still the man that God appointed to lead the flock. But in appointing you, he put special gifts. He put special gifts in your congregation. Use them. Quit trying to make it about you and thinking somebody's getting more attention than you. Or, oh, God, they're coming just to see her sing. Well, even if they are they getting delivered? Are they getting set free? Are they getting healed?
Right.
By God, we want to use what God has in the pew.
That's so true. That is so true. It's like they would help you, not hurt you. If you're on my team, why would I not throw you the ball? I don't have a shot over here where I'm at. You know, I messed up over here. I can't even see the goal. And you over there with your arms up. Pass the ball, man. Pass the ball. And I won't throw you the ball because I'm the leader. I'm the head.
It's not about
the head leading the head.
It's not about your agenda. It's not. You start a service off praying and asking God to meet you there. When he shows up and he uses a certain person, you're like, okay, yeah, but I got to get my message out. I got to, you know, I studied long for this. Mm. I got to get my message out. But God don't want your message to go forth right now. God just used that brother and that sister to sing a song of deliverance in your building, the building that you call the church. Come on now.
You
I got to say this. I'm sorry.
You said you were going to be quiet. What happened?
I got to say this. See, here's another virus that infected the building. It's called Ego 21. Why? Because egos have been crippling pastors in some of these congregations for the last 20 years. Sister Tracy is right. See, we want to preach the house down. We want to sing the house down. We want to play the house. We want to be the one-man band, one-man shop, do it all, and then you drop your $1,000 seed after I entertained you. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm going to get in trouble with that statement too, but that's the truth. See, the only cure for Ego 21 is to get out the way. Uh-oh. And see, for a lot, or let me stop saying a lot, for some of these preachers, that's a very hard thing to do because pride and arrogance is what's making the building fall. Look around. Get over yourself. See, we have gifts for a reason. And if you don't know your congregation in the spirit, that's why you can't let Sister Tracy let the Holy Spirit come down in the building because you too busy looking at your Rolex. Oh, I'm sorry, your regular watch, and you too busy wanting to out-sing, outdo everybody else in the church because they came to see me. It got nothing to do with you. When we all gather together, some people are chosen to do a thing. I'm not saying called. Everybody's called to do something. But when you are chosen, uh-oh, see, we gonna have praise break. See, when you are chosen, you have the ability to call the angels of heaven to come down right here on this earth and set people free by your voice, by the way you speak, by the way you dance, wherever God has anointed you to do. When you are chosen, baby, there's nothing they can do about it. Let me stop.
Yeah.
I said I was done. I'm for real this time. I'm out of here. Take it.
So, Tracy, did you want to go? Roberta, did you want to go to callers now? We've got a little over 30 minutes left. Want to go to callers? Get them involved?
Sure, that sounds good.
Okay, we'll go to callers, Pastor Chris.
Yes, ma'am. All right, callers, we're coming to you. So what we're going to do is read the last four digits of your phone number. If you're just listening, just say pass, and we'll continue on with the other callers. So first up, 6015, you are live on the air. God bless you.
No.
Hey, Lucille, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I can't get this phone to work.
You got it working, baby. I can hear you fine.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. Yes, I can.
I really enjoyed the show today. And
okay.
Well, y'all was talking about a drunk man coming through. When we was a child, this gentleman used to come through. He would be drunk, but he knew the Bible back and forth. He might have was out there in the street, but I don't know who taught him the Bible, but he knew scripture. And I'm glad you said love is an action word.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get a whole lot, I love you, but I don't get no action behind the I love you. So I don't know how to take that sometimes.
That's right. That's right.
And a lady showed me love in the store yesterday. She ain't know me and I ain't know her.
Okay.
I went in Sam's to get two products. And the buggy had red lights all on it, but the further I went down the aisle, the lights went to jump off. So I got one product, and I moved towards the second product, and it stopped. So that told me to have to get off the buggy, leave one product, and I couldn't hardly make it with the one I was getting. But it was one lady had compassion for me, stopped and said, "Miss, let me help you." And she said, "Did you want the other product I had in the buggy?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, I'll get both of them, and I'll take them to the register for you." And was going to walk me out to my car. You can't find... Now, this lady don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got people that are kin to me and come in and out. "Oh, I love you. I love you, but you ain't never got a hand to do nothing."
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to say. I'm blessed by this show today. May God bless.
God bless you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sir.
Ooh, please. See, we on started something. See, here we go.
Yeah.
Next caller, 8637, 8637. You are live on the air. God bless you.
8637. Okay.
They're just listening. We'll put you back on mute. Thank you so
much. That's Sister Rose.
Oh.
She texted me something, and I'm going to read it. She might be dealing with the kids. But she said, "When you're a Christian, the Lord's life is not to just be celebrated, but to be imitated too. Most people just want to celebrate it and not imitate it." Amen. That was powerful.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Ooh, yeah. So the Lord's life is not to just be celebrated, but it's to be imitated. So we can't just talk about it and make a lot of noise. We got to do it.
Like the people in the street said, don't talk about it, be about it. Got to be about it.
Mm-hmm. That's good talk there. That's good talk there. Hold the band back, Pastor Chris, and give us another call.
Yeah. I'm trying. Okay, next caller, 5551, you are live on the air. God bless you.
God bless you. Hello, everyone. I'm enjoying this show today. I would say the pandemic also taught me how to operate in the love of God because, like most people, I would just go to work, good morning, goodbye. But since the pandemic, one of my sisters flow in the prophetic. And one day she FaceTimed me at work, and God began to move through her and began to speak into the lives of my coworkers. And for the longest, I was like, "God, why am I at this job? This is a waste. I'm not growing. I'm not this. I'm not that." And it wasn't until that moment that I knew that God had me there for a reason. And had I not been in position, my sister would not have been able to properly meet those people and minister to them. So the pandemic, and it's not just in the church building, I'm learning that, like Pastor Chris said, we are the church and we have to be ready to minister at any given moment and at any given time and operate and show God's love. So thank y'all for the encouragement on today.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Beth.
Amen.
That's a great word right there all by itself, panel, because she's saying had she not been in position, some people's lives would have been affected by that. And so sometimes we be scrapping and hollering, "Well, I got to be over here. I don't want to be over here." And all the time God is saying, "Just be still. I'm doing something. I'm going to work this out." That's an awesome thing. Thank you.
Oh,
Sister
that just hit me in my forehead.
What hit you?
That just hit me in my forehead because I'm sure, like, Lord, I'm ready to go. And God, like, girl, sit down, be still.
Awesome.
That's good.
That's great.
Next caller, 2985, 2985. You are live on the air. God bless you.
Well, I must say, this birthday is hot today. I'm glad to be on this line. I've heard a lot of things, but I want to say this. I thank God for the opportunity I had to be under a man of God sitting inside of a building that truly taught me the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got into that word, I began to find a greater life. And when I experienced the power of God in my life, then I had a lot of questions to ask because I wanted to know why were they sitting down on what I had found out. And a lot of times they tried to make me think I was crazy, but I know when I hear from God. And I just thank God that when I really became that true believer and got filled with God's Spirit, I prayed and I told God I didn't want to be inside of a building. Whatever ministry he gave me, I wanted to be able to go. I didn't want to be stuck inside of four walls because the work is on the outside of the building. It's too much to be given. The world is in need. And when you all talked about love, there is no greater love than the love of God. And except God be in you, you will not love with the love of God. Those people that want to remain carnal-minded and do things their way, they'll receive nothing from God. They're going to stay wavery. But those that really want to be the true servants of God, they're going to do like Mary did. They're going to learn to sit at his feet. Teresa said she sit in her living room and had a good time with the Lord, met the Lord, learned some things. Everybody talk about how I stay stuck in my house. Honey, they don't know. It's wonderful things that go on in quietness. I thank God for the pandemic because it has brought a lot of people together. And I thank God even for my life. It allowed me to get a prayer line started. I thank God that as I got on other people's prayer lines and bringing out the calling in my life that was really going under because sometimes in the church, you have to beg people to come to prayer. They don't even want to pray. So I'm thanking God for this line. You guys are touching up on a lot of things. And thank God that he's opening it up so we can learn truth and be about our Father's business. God bless you all.
Amen.
I love this buffet.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister
Thank
Ruby.
You so much for calling. Ooh. Okay, I'm going to get through this. 7122, you are live on the air. God bless you.
This is Jeanette, and I just want to say that I enjoyed the message so far today.
Thank you, Sister Jeanette. Thank you for calling.
Next caller, 2598, you are live on the air. You are live on the air.
I think that's one of our callers that just listens in, Pastor Chris.
Okay, no problem. Thank you for calling in. Last caller, 6801. You are live on the air. God bless you.
Just calling in and saying, I ain't doing nothing so fast.
That was Elder John. It sounds like he's traveling. Elder John, I know you can hear us. Thank you for calling in. It was very difficult to hear you. We appreciate you calling. So that's the last of our callers. I'll do the housekeeping at this time. I want to just celebrate and highlight three of our most faithful listeners that listen to us and support us every Saturday. You know, we really do appreciate that. When you get on a mission and you make up your mind or you decide you want to do, be obedient to God, it's a lonely walk sometimes. And sometimes you begin to second guess because the people that you respect and love and honor don't seem to be on the same page. And so you start thinking to yourself, did I really hear from God? I don't have any supporters, anybody that wants to hear me minister to them. But these three ladies, they show up every Saturday, and there are other faithful listeners as well. But we just like to highlight these three ladies because of the time they've spent on this earth, and we don't want to omit an opportunity to share and show love to them. We start with the Sister Dorothy Curry, and we heard from her, one of her caretakers, Sister Lucille Priester, a little while ago. She was the one talking about her visit at Sam's Club on yesterday. And also her second caretaker is Sister Shirley Allen. Both of these beautiful young ladies are Sister Dorothy's daughters. And trust me when I tell you, they take very, very good care of their mom. That's one of the things that that drew me to these ladies. I knew that they were elderly ladies when I joined the church where I go, and I just noticed how patient her daughters were when they had to go to the restroom or when they would bring them into the sanctuary. They didn't rush these ladies with their walkers to their seats, and when they got them there, they made sure that they were comfortable in their seats, and I just admired that, because like I said, when I was hollering at my little grandboy that day, I could imagine if I had to take care of my elderly mother and she was, you know, not moving as fast as I like to move sometimes, that I may have grown impatient with her. And I just thank God for Sister Shirley Allen and Sister Lucille for the care that they give to Sister Dorothy. But we also have to remember, Sister Dorothy's a little pistol now. She ain't going to take no wooden nickels, but we do thank God. And bless you, Sister Dorothy. I know you hear me. And this your gal. That's what she called me. Where that gal at? God bless you, Sister Dorothy. Also, we have Sister Ella Priester. Sister Ella just had a birthday not long ago. She turned 97 years old, and she had a little wow. birthday party. I wasn't able to attend, but she had a little birthday party, and her two daughters that take really good care of her, one of them lives out of state. Sister Josie Lee Priester lives out of state, and her daughter that lives here in South Carolina is Sister Leola Priester, and we just appreciate them as well for taking care of their mom. These ladies are still moving around, still able to do a lot of things for themselves at 97 years old. I'm not sure when Sister Dorothy's birthday is, but I know that our next special guest has a birthday coming up. Sister Eartha Lee Aaron, she would be 93 years old this year. I think next month, if I'm not mistaken. And they're going to have her drive-by party, and I'm not going to be able to attend hers either because I won't be in town, but she has two wonderful, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost daughters as well. These are Christian women that take care of their moms. And Sister Eartha's two daughters is Edna Moore and Sister Jeanette Pontoon. Sister Jeanette told me yesterday I said her name wrong last week. We apologize for that. But Sister Jeanette Pontoon, she said, you make sure you make me a pontoon tomorrow. So we just love you, and we thank God for you. We thank God for the care and the love, because I've seen love on display with these women when they take their mothers out to dinner, out to lunch, I think once a month. I had the privilege of going out to dinner with them a couple of times before the pandemic hit, and it was just fun, because they were, if one of the sisters, they're not triplets, but they sure act like it. If one of the sisters say, I want sweet tea, all of them want sweet tea. If they say, well, I want a Sprite, they all of them get a Sprite. It's just really cute to see them in action. And they basically like the same food. They love watermelon. So I just love these three ladies. They're a blessing, and they are encouragement to me. And I pray that if ever my children have to take care of me, that they would do the things that I see these young women, these women do with their mom. So thank you for being a faithful listener. As we get ready to wrap this thing up, we've got about, 20 more minutes to go. So Sister Tracy, Sister Roberta, it's on you guys. Y'all can wrap this up in a tight little bow. Love has been amazing, and I felt like we just really skimmed the surface on love. I had 1 Corinthians 13 open, and we ain't never quoted the scripture from it, but love has been really explained very well, but there's so much more. So Sister Roberta, it's on you.
My takeaway, only thing that I'm hearing is
when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Mm-hmm.
It lifted me because I was sinking down deeply in sin. Love lifted me. And it just reminds me that when others are going through, that I would pray that I have the love of God that would help them up.
Mm-hmm.
My takeaway. Love should be your greatest motivator in everything you do.
Amen. Amen. I agree with that.
Amen. I was, you know, thinking about how, you know, God has a sense of humor. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, he told us what love was.
Hmm.
He said, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful. Then he thought about it. He said, I know them rockhead kids down there of mine. I need to tell them what love is not. So love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Never ends. So when you think about that, if you think about our walk, and God was so intentional in how he told us to express love. And then he told us how important love was for our walk. When we think about that, just every day, whatever relationship you have, whether it's your spouse, your children, your coworkers, you know, just as the sister called in Lowe's, you know, a perfect stranger, we're supposed to love at all times and exemplify it to the highest. It's the most important emotion, if you want to call it an emotion. But it's a service unto the Lord because he was very, very discreet in how he explained. And I wrote down so many scriptures in the Bible. Love pops up just about everywhere. And just like I said at the beginning, love shows up. It's an action word. You can't love me with words and not with deeds and acts. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it with just words, I'm going to tell you, you don't love me, you know, because God told me what love was, and love is its action. I 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. We never know when we express love to someone what that does for that person. That person could have been having the worst day, week, month, year. And we show the smallest kind act of love to them. And that could be the very thing that saves them, literally, that saves them. So it is so important for us as Christians to be all that God has called us to be in the love. And it's a language, too. It's a language, you know, how we talk. You know, you cussing people out and cutting them off and all that, that's not love. That's not love. You know, love is gentle. You know, it's tender in how you express yourself. So those are the things that have really stood out to me in studying this love language and this love walk.
Wow. You know, one of the things, Sister Tracy, is that caught me, that really leveled me to and made the playground level in my home, was when it said it don't keep a record. My God, why he had to put that in there?
Yeah,
right. Please don't keep a record. I can remember when he did this, Lord. I know when they did that, Lord.
Yeah.
But he said love don't keep a record, because love let it go. Love trust me with it. And that's why I say I've just found out that I wasn't quite as tall. My measurements say 5'5.5", but actually I'm a midget when it comes down to the area of love, because it's just so much in that 13th chapter. And I believe that it bears going to, or attempting to go to next week, if we to continue to deal with love. Because what I found is we're here to assist and to help others. But as we dig to help you, we really find a mirror in the Word. And that mirror shows us where our blemishes are. You know, I didn't know that bump was right there. I didn't even see it. But when I opened the mirror up and I started looking in the mirror and I started finding out, wow, I'm not as good as I thought I was. I don't know the things I thought I knew. And your mom always said, I thought you was going to say it earlier, Sister Tracy, when you said your mom taught you something about love being an action word. She used to always tell me, you know, talk is cheap. If you're going to buy some land, you got to have some money. And so that's what she was right. That's what she told me. Yeah, talk is cheap. Anybody can talk about it. But like you said, that be about it part. You know, you saying, I'm gonna build a house, and you talk all that talk and all those great plans, and nothing ever materialized. You just running your mouth. And so while we still have what we got, 15 minutes. Pastor Chris, would you unmute 5551 and let the prayer warrior pray us out on today as we pray that the spirit of love and the subject of love has transformed somebody's life and at least cracked the door open so that they realize that there's a way out of whatever situation that they found themselves in, because we have a lot of people that's in unlovable situations and they're feeling hopeless. So we want to leave them with hope on today. Sister Vet, would you also pray for Sister Lucia? She's preparing to have surgery, and we want to keep her in prayer.
Heavenly Father,
are you there yet?
Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for your presence on this call on today, Lord God. We thank and praise you, Lord God, that you are in the midst. We thank and praise you for touching the hands of every doctor, every surgeon, every anesthesiologist that will lay hands on Sister Lucille. We thank you, Lord God, that he is healed by your stripes. We thank you for a speedy recovery, Lord God. We thank and praise you, Lord God, that her body is made whole, Lord God, and that she is healed on this side of heaven. Lord, we thank and praise you that our hearts are pure, Lord God. We thank and praise you that you have taught us what love truly is on today. And we thank and praise you, Lord God, that we will love people the way that you love us. Lord, we thank and praise you that we will see people the way that you see them, Lord God, that we will not see them with our physical eyes, but we will begin to see them in our spiritual eyes. Lord, we thank and praise you that you will forgive us of our sins, those knowingly and unknowingly. We thank and praise you, Lord God, that you forgive us for not displaying Christ's love, Lord God. We thank and praise you, Lord God, for forgiving us for not exemplifying who you truly are. Lord, we thank and praise you that we will strive to be more Christ-like, that we will strive to love people, Lord God, in spite of, Lord God. We thank and praise you that the same grace that you give us, that we will give to others, Lord God. Lord, we thank and praise you for teaching us how to forgive those who didn't love us right. Forgive those who abused our love. Lord, we thank and praise you for your healing, Lord God, on today. We thank and praise you, Lord God, that we will walk upright. We thank and praise you, Lord God, that we will continue to love people, Lord God. We thank and praise you that we will continue to be the church, Lord God, that we will not focus on the building, Lord God, but we will focus on you. Lord, we thank you for a true, intimate relationship with you. We thank you that we know who you truly are, Lord God, that in this pandemic you have shown us who you are. You have spoken to us, Lord God, that we have tapped into our gifts, Lord God. We thank you for a fresh anointing, oh God, in our lives. We thank you that we will continue to make you smile, Lord God, so that one day we can hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In all these things, we pray and give you thanks. Lord, any area that anyone on this call is standing in need of, we thank you that you will meet them at that need, Lord God. We thank you for giving us a peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord God. Any decisions that we are battling with, Lord God, we thank you for clarity, Lord God, as we make these decisions and we move forward in you. We give you thanks. Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Chris, we have about 9 more minutes. If you want to take a stab at a closing thought that's pressing in your heart, we want to remember, continue to pray one for another, that we would be able to just continue to bless the body of Christ with our presence, not just be a part of something, but be a game changer in the church. It's time for the game to get changed. It's time to go from just existing or tolerating to being able to celebrate and to motivate and to influence somebody else's life towards the better. Pastor Chris.
Amen. Well, I'm going to be short and sweet, and we're going to go out with a song that's very, very good for this show. Number one, three ways God has showed us love during this pandemic. God has given you the perfect gift of time. Number two, God has provided all of your needs. Not once, needs. And number three, God has given you ample opportunity to self-love and love others. Uh-oh. Think about it, see, because I ain't going to go off on those three because I said I was going to be short. So, tune in next week, same time, same place, right here on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network, also on Facebook Live at TPV Radio and www.tpvradionetwork.com. We love you. God bless you. And we are going out with Israel Houghton with Reckless Love. We hope you were full on today. We will see you next week. God bless.
Radio, Central Texas.